Hello, and welcome to the Fire Officer Project Podcast, a show where we will discuss and learn together about topics specific to the American Fire Service. Come along as we explore areas such as firehouse traditions and culture, the fire family life, leadership, as well as getting yourself ready to be the company officer. This show is for everyone from the rookie firefighter to newly promoted officers. I'm your host, Mark McCurdy. Now let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome back to the Fire Officer Project. This is episode 4. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit at the beginning on reviewing the first few episodes, some things that have happened recently, and then we're going to talk about day one as a captain, what to expect. I'll give you a little bit of potential language warning because I pretty much just run this as I go, and sometimes passion or trying to get a point across might cause something to slip. So a little bit of language warning potentially for this one, just based on the topic. So sit back, relax, send us any comments or info that you'd like to hear further on this topic, and I hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the Fire Officer Project. And in this show, we're going to talk about what it's like to be the captain the first day, or company officer, whatever your department calls it. Going to review a little bit of the first few episodes, some other things that have been going on, and go from there. So it's been a minute since I've done this. And now that I look at the dates I put out, the last show was October 4th. It's November 18th. So time goes by fast. Bunch of stuff at work going on, stuff, family life. So I'm a little delayed. Plus, one of the other things was I didn't want to just put out content just to put it out and then it sucks. So I'm still trying to learn and making sure I'm following a pattern, because if I was all over the place, you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? I'm trying to keep somewhat of an organization. So I kind of went back to the drawing board, straightened a few things out that I want to do for the long haul. And some new things have come to light recently at work, and I just want to kind of touch on those. So just as a quick review, the second show, The Foundation, we talked about just setting goals for yourself, timeline, doing a self-assessment, a true self-assessment of seeing where you're at and where you need to be to market yourself and to feel comfortable with getting ready for that promotion. And then finding a mentor, that's a big one. You're going to keep hearing that because I think that's huge. And if you haven't listened to the other episodes, you can kind of go back and get my opinion on it. But in a review nutshell, I think you need to find a mentor that's not just going to blow smoke up your ass and tell you that you're doing great and you're awesome because you're a nice person and all this. I'm so sick of hearing they're a nice guy, but, or a nice person or whatever it may be, because the but part is after it, you don't necessarily want to work with them all the time though, but they're a nice person. Great. We have tons of nice people on this job. What's the person that you want to get the job done? So somewhere in between there is where we need to try to land. So that's what basically, and then, but what I mean, going back to what I was talking about with the mentor is find a mentor that's going to tell you the truth. It's going to sit down and look at what you've accomplished so far and give you the true heart assessment of where they think you should be. Maybe give you some ideas you never thought of, open your eyes up to a whole nother area of your department that maybe you weren't aware of, and just kind of pushes you in that direction, gets you out of your comfort zone. Now, those people can be your friend or somebody that you look up to, but sometimes it's worth getting another opinion of somebody that you've never even maybe been around that often, but you respect them. So look into that. And then episode 3, we talked about, what did I call it? Early beginnings. And I more talked about kind of day one stuff with captain things, but I'm going to go more into the philosophy of what it feels like. So SOPs, SOGs, your reputation. And then one of my favorite topics, Captain Good Times. You can go back and listen to episode 3 about what I mean about that. I don't need to review it. And so this show, I'm going to talk about what it was like day one, and then some other things that have happened recently and what that feels like. And I have a section in my physical class where I talk about this stuff, and it actually sparks a lot of conversation, and I'll expound on it here as we go. But so that's just that quick review. Some things that I've been doing personally. First off, with those shows, I've almost had 400 downloads. I'm getting close to closing in on 400 downloads. And just that alone is astonishing to me, that 400 people or 400 times as these shows have been downloaded and listened to. For something that I've only started 2 months ago, it's pretty good to me. I know those numbers aren't amazing, but it's good. I'm getting some good feedback. I'd love to hear more so that I can kind of put it in the right direction. I'm not wasting people's time, but just having that nearly 400 is awesome. So thank you for taking the time to listen, to download it, sharing it. It's a whole network of things that needs to happen. And then what else? So I, as far as listening and podcasts and studying and doing all that stuff, I'm a huge fan of Band of Brothers, the series. I watch it at least once a year, sometimes twice, depending on what I have going on. Little snippets at a time, so it takes a while to get through all of them, but I pick something up every time after watching it. There's a huge component of leadership, and I'm a history buff, so that part is natural to me to want to see things like that, but the leadership nuggets that you can pull out of that is amazing. And I'm not necessarily here to talk about that. What I was going to tell you is if you're into that show, they just released a series of podcast episodes where they go and talk to the characters. They break down each episode and they talk about how that was filmed and what the concepts are and things. I've only gotten through the first episode, but it's pretty awesome so far. So if you wanted something to just change the topic or you want something new to listen to, it's the Band of Brothers podcast where they break down each show. So far, there's the 10 episodes, so the 10 shows plus an intro show. So that one's pretty good, and I've been listening to that. So there's a little suggestion if you wanted to try that. All right, and so what else? I was recently a guest on the Prep and Defend show with Chris Ruano, episode 32. And we talked about just this whole kind of similar topic, promoting and the right mindset and things like that. But it was great to be able to be on his show to learn not only how the interview thing, because Chris is a huge motivator in pushing me over to get this started. So it was great speaking with him. If you're interested in hearing, because he asked questions instead of me just just talking right into the mic. And we kind of bounce things back and forth, which is nice. So I'm planning on doing that down the road. I just want to get these first few shows out and kind of set the table here. And then I'm going to think guests are probably going to be probably more interesting than just listening to me, in my opinion. But that's coming down the road. So episode 32, if you want to listen, but go and check out Prep and Defend. They have, or Chris is doing a ton of topics with just not only fire service, but family and fitness. And he's got an enormous amount of information that you can do. So go listen over there, Prep and Defend. And that was a great experience as far as well. So like I said, we talked about those couple episodes recently. So today's the 18th of November. And our captain's list came out not that long ago. And we knew anticipating promotions and things like that. But as of yesterday, I heard that phone calls were starting to go out. So that means these people are going to be promoted. I think they said December 1st. So we had already kind of put together classes that we were going to start doing the physical classes. Now it's going to be a few days before. And one of the days was a day after they start the academy. So that's not going to work. So I was trying to come up with another concept of what to do. So I might try just doing Zoom meetings with people. And that's my next adventure to try to figure, which isn't that hard. Everybody's been doing it, especially with COVID stuff. So I'm thinking on some of these topics where it's hard to get everybody together because of mandatories and time off and things of that nature, that maybe just a Zoom conference where we kind of meet and discuss things is definitely on the table, because it's just going to be an easier way to help some of these people that are going to be wearing the bugle soon, which is good. But two things have happened recently that I noticed around this whole thing. And this is part of the reason I was starting this whole idea. So one is, and I'm trying not to be too opinionated on things, but we've recently had people get demoted in our department, demoted out of the position of captain. And there's a ton of factors of why that happens. And I don't have enough information to even open my mouth. But the fact that it's happened is a big deal. So I'm not speaking specifically to those individuals' cases. I have no understanding of why or whatever. I mean, I kind of know, but it's not, I'm not open forum discussing it. What I'm saying is it happened, but I look at it and go, okay, who's at fault here? Is it the person because they didn't get themselves ready? They weren't ready. Maybe it just wasn't for them and they didn't necessarily want to give it back, but they thought they could overcome it. Who knows what all the factors are. But I think it is notable that part of it is maybe the testing process. Because if people are able to get through that now, and it's not one person, it's not two, I've heard three, if not more, in these recent, so probation's only 6 months for us, for that position, for your promoted position. Why is this happening? So one of two things. They're not going to change the testing process. So the way it's happening is the way it's going to happen. But as an individual, and if you're listening to this, you're probably a little more motivated to become a better company officer. And I'm not saying you got to listen to me, but I'm just giving you topics. You're probably already going on that path anyway. And it's evident when I have these classes and we kind of bounce things and I'm kind of nice and okay, let me be a person you can lean on and things. And then this kind of stuff happens and you go, okay, we need more. We need to do something better. We need to go back and try to figure out how do we brace these people up? And that's why I talk about the foundation. It's all individually motivated. But if you don't know what you don't know, which we don't, then what do you expect from people? So I don't know. I think it's 50-50, maybe a little more on the individual. I don't know. I'm just talking out my ass right now, but it's something that is frustrating to see that happens because it's got to be harsh on those, on the an individual it happens to. And then, but maybe it's for the best. I don't know, at least for now in time. And then they go back to the drawing board and they push forward and they make it happen. That would be ideal. Or maybe that some people realize, you know what, it's not for me. This is the position I'd rather be in. And they go back to that and they stay there until it's time, or maybe they want to stay there. So that's one thing I noticed happen. The other thing, and I mentioned it in a previous episode, but then it happened the other day. So I sent out an email to all the people that are on the list saying, hey, we're going to have these classes, just a little thing to help you boost yourself up for when you go to the Captain's Academy. And then just some things that you may not have thought about or don't aren't aware of, or the sets and reps, right? You constantly hear me talk about sets and reps. That's the opportunity that we're giving people, the sets and reps to fall on their face, to work out those bugs. But we're doing it now so close to the Captain's Academy, which wasn't planned, at least in this current spot in our time here that we're in, that I get a message saying, one from one person saying, teach me everything you know, which I kind of look at that and go, okay, no, that's cool, because they think I kind of know what's going on, which, all right, maybe, but not really. Or two, how ready are they? That they're saying, show me, sorry, 2 weeks before you're going to go, piss off. I'll help you, but how much do you think you're going to retain? And there's going to be a lot of people that will help those people because, and we've done it. I've even been the night before the academy trying to show somebody how to just get their BA on, talk on the radio, and walk and talk, and they're going to be a captain starting the next day. But the other end of that is people that are nailed, push hard, study every day, ask a ton of questions, and then there's the people in between. So I'm not trying to talk negative about, especially my department. It's an individual thing that's a human factor. Find somewhere in between there, but don't be the person who the night before is doing that. Or now I get the whole, because our department is brush heavy, and I think I mentioned it because I went back and listened to some of the episodes. I know I mentioned it, the time where people go, oh, I work in this area. I've never dealt with the brush, but now is the first time I'm going to start thinking about it. Teach me what you know. Another thing, are you kidding me? You have to start well rounding yourself based on your department and what's going to be expected of you. You can't just take it and go, well, I hope that doesn't happen, or I hope I don't get promoted there or into that position. Hope's not a plan. Sorry to tell you, because there's going to be a day where you're working overtime somewhere or sent out on a strike team or something. So how do you fix that? Well, this is where I need to rewind it. Right now, it's too late, right? It's too late in what I mean as far as trying to come out with the marathon plan. You're going to be in sprint plan right now if you're in this position. So as a whole, and what I'm trying to start here, and multiple of the people that are jumping on board with this and helping, is grabbing the person a year or two before and mentoring them, or just meeting with them and saying, take these classes and then I'll meet back with you in a few months, or text me or call me, or you kind of see what I'm talking about. But when you're hitting somebody up a week before or 2 weeks before in a topic that you don't know, but, and have never put effort into, whose fault is that? But some people will push you, but you better know that you're in sprint mode trying to retain it, and then trying to retain it and not doing it is going to be rough. But at the same time, you can't know it all. So try to curb that as much as you can and get out in front of it. So enough about me complaining. What I'm really trying to look at is, what is it like? So you can prep all you want and try to have this down, and you think you know what you're going to say on your first fire, and everything's going to go this way, or you think you're trying to deal with personnel and what's that going to be like, and it can be heavy on your shoulders. And if you don't feel nervous, like initially you get the phone call and you're excited. It's an exciting thing for your family, for you, all the effort you've put in. You feel like it's another big hurdle. It is exciting. And then it wears off because I get all these text messages and phone calls. Congratulations. You're awesome. This, that. Family's excited. It changes things, but it's going to change a lot because you're probably going to get kicked out of the station that you're at, unless you're at a smaller department. You work for a bigger agency. Who knows where you're going to end up? Could be on a different shift with people you don't know and whatever it may be. So when that starts to fade off and reality gut checks you and you're thinking about everything you need to do prior to getting promoted within a few weeks, then you start weighing on your shoulders. So I have a section in my class where I show a picture of a person sleeping in bed and just kind of laying there staring at the ceiling. How often do you think that's going to happen to you? Because my experience was this. When I first got promoted, I was at a station that myself and the other captain, we got promoted at the same time. So I was what shift was I on? B shift? I think he was A. Doesn't really matter. Obviously, you can see it's a single engine with the squad, and he was the A shift captain, I was the B shift captain. Okay, so we would relieve each other in the morning, but we started out the same academy class, same time frame. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't like he had a couple months on me or I had a couple months on him. And I remember feeling like I didn't have enough time in the day to try to get done what I needed to because my time management skills sucked. Because you're in a new environment, a new job, a new responsibility, and you're trying to understand how to manage time. And time management is tough because you think you can get all this done. I started out with a list. Okay, I'm going to do all my basic stuff I have to do. And then I got 5 things I want to do today. And then it went down to 4, 3. And if I got 2 of the things done, legit, that needed to be done, not personal errands. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about projects around the station, fire prevention, whatever it may need to be. That is the hardest part, is trying to understand the time management. So I come in the morning, relieve him, or he'd relieve me, whatever it be, and I go, hey, how did it go? How was your shift? Oh, it was good. We ran a couple calls and cooked 2 meals, watched a couple movies. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the hell? How do you have time to kick back and watch movies all the time? And I get it. I'm not talking about not hanging out with the crew. What I'm talking about is, yeah, we watched football, we did this, we did that. Like, how do you do that as a brand new captain and have time for that? Because he must have been more dialed in than I was on that. Because I'm trying to manage the office, study, go on calls, train with the people, train myself, just all kinds of things. And you're going, what in the? So another thing where you got to find the middle of where that happy medium is. Because if you don't think you're not going to be laying awake, staring at the ceiling, trying to think of what's going to happen next, or am I going to be able to handle it? Then you either don't care, you're not aware of it, or maybe you're that solid. Somewhere in there. I think those are your three options. So know that that's going to happen. And I kid with the people in my class and say, don't worry, you only have diarrhea for about 3 months. Then you feel like you're getting your feet under you a tiny bit. And then like your whole career, something will come along and slap you down and show you you don't know it all. It's going to continuously happen. So you just need to find that person that you can rely on to help you through situations, guide you, and just know that a lot of it is on the job training. But you rely on the experience that you already have had. So know that. So the way to help you, because we worry about these big scenarios and these big situations, and there's a whole section we have on just single engine responses. Now you're the single engine responding, and you're the person in charge who's going to make a decision. It's almost easier on house fires and things where there's multiple other people because you can go and ask other captains while they're right in front of you. But you can't do that at 2 a.m. when you're on a single engine response and you don't know what the hell to do. So phone a friend is always big if you can. So that's what I noticed the first few months as a captain. And every day you go in, you're kind of think like, okay, I need to figure out, every time you make a decision, there's always repercussion for it, right? So you're trying to make these decisions. You're trying to see how the station operates, how you're, where you're, what level your personnel are at, your responsibility. That takes time. So do you come in with expectations right away? You should have some. And what I mean by expectations, though, is, and we talked about in a previous episode with the SOP, SOGs, is having a basic framework. That should, you should already have that day one. And if you, I expounded on it in the SOP, SOG episode, but you better have that one down. And I'm not saying come in with expectation paper and slide it across the table on day one, because you know how that would go over. But you should have some, hey, on this, I want to do this. On this, I like to do this. Very loose framework, but some kind of structure. That should be big. You should do that no matter where you go. And as a review, I'm saying I do that every time I go working overtime somewhere, or I work on a different shift, or work on somebody who's never worked with me. I kind of explain to them so that I don't have to explain it to them as we're going to that response. I can't cover all of them, but you know, structure fire, apartment fire, brush fire, TC trap. Those are kind of like the four that I cover, and the rest you can explain as you go usually. So what was it like day one as a captain for me? I remember it vividly. It's been over 5 years, but I still remember what it was like. And so a little bit of story time. Day one, I was assigned to a battalion that I had been a firefighter in at my day one station. I was mandatory to Station 7 in West Hollywood. I had worked there for 5 years as a firefighter medic. So I kind of understood the area. I felt, oh, this is good. Amazing. How can I land at the same spot I spent so much time at and feel comfortable with? But now I'm a new captain. So obviously different environment. That wasn't the station I was assigned to. I just had I was recalled or mandatory to that station. So I said, okay. At the time, it was a station that did the staffing. So I had to do the battalion staffing, the regular day duties. It was a weekend. It was a Saturday. And it was beginning of the month, first thing of September. No, October. October. And at the end of the month for our department, and probably for most, we have the month-end reports that need to be done and collected, and it has to do with paramedic paperwork and timekeeping and overtime staffing numbers and things. There's a whole list of things that has to be done. Well, usually then that's the 30th or 31st of the month. Then the first, obviously the next day, the chief, the battalion chief, wants all that stuff in their office because they need to disseminate it. They need to do everything. They need to pass it on what they need to do. And it's just a natural thing to how it works for us. So the chief comes in the morning, hey, we'll talk later. But as of right now, I need all this paperwork collected and brought up here. And that it was normal. You just have to set up the logistics to make that happen. So, okay, no problem. And then start doing the staffing at 10 o'clock. You're constantly waiting for that first phone call or that first call. You know, just butterflies the whole time. You're trying to figure out how to set your stuff up on the rig. Even though you've practiced it a bunch, now you're like, oh boy, now I'm legitimately in the seat. And if you don't think that all eyes are on you, then you're oblivious to what's going on because they are. And not in a demeaning way or anything, but people are watching because they know you're new in your spot. And most people are good about just helping you. So you just have to be able to have that humbleness, I guess, to say, if you're not familiar with an area, hey, I don't know this area well. I'll rely on your experience or local knowledge. You just tell me what I need that you know, and then we'll work through it together. But you're just doing your normal things. Do the staffing, trying to make sure I do all that right, which luckily I had a background in it. I couldn't imagine if you didn't have any background and you're trying to figure that out, but I had a pretty decent background. Most of my career had been at stations where we did the staffing, so I felt pretty comfortable with that. I got the logistics moving for getting all the paperwork for the chief. No problem. Perfect. And that station, that area is known for really not too many calls in the morning because that's we would train a lot and then we'd go to lunch and then afternoon it might pick up a little bit, but then it's kind of a night station because it's a busy party town, lots of venues for music and all kinds of things. So craziness usually starts happening at night. So we had lunch, we do all our stuff, and then the business line, the phone line rings at the station. I answer and it was a manager from 24 Hour Fitness, a gym down on Santa Monica Boulevard. Big older building, arch type older building. It's been there for a while. Calls and says, yeah, hey, we have smoke coming from one of the vents inside, like air conditioning vents. So, okay. So I start thinking, okay, well, a lot or a little bit? Just a little bit. It's kind of like a haze. Okay, so we go. I said, okay, we're on our way. So I hang up the phone, get a hold of our dispatch, tell them just to make it an inside investigation, which is a call type for us. We'll go figure it out. Because as a slide carousel is spinning around in my head, I'm thinking like 95% of the time we've gone on these, it's a belt motor on the air conditioning unit, either burns up or sends some smoke or dust or whatever. It's usually smoke right through and it smells burnt, like a burnt belt, almost like a burnt ballast, you know. I'm checking all this off of my head. I'm like, oh, I'm good. We go in there, packed. Saturday, it's a weekend. Look in there and go, yeah, there's a haze. Kind of all over. Smells like the burnt belt thing. So we work on getting to the roof. Get up to the roof, arch type truss. Trying to find the air conditioning units. Come across the one and go over a wall. Get to the unit. Take off the lid. And black smoke comes out and it smells like you can hear crackling like in the ducting. It's not the typical belts burnt, snapped off, motor kind of seized or still spinning. It's not that. Small fire in the ducting or wherever it may be. And I'm thinking, oh God, all of a sudden pit in the stomach feeling, what the hell am I going to do? I tell the guys, hey, get off the roof, get everything set up. I got to call this one in, make it a bigger deal. So I had to balance it to a commercial building fire. My way down the stairs, go to the manager, tell him, hey, in your most calm voice, please tell everybody to exit the building and wait out on the street, down the street. And he did, and it was pretty orderly. It was pretty good. But that concept, because now you tell your dispatch center, I need this. You got a big delay because, 3 to 5, 6, 7 minutes before resources start showing up. But it did give me breathing room to start thinking, what the hell am I going to do? Anyways, the long and short, everybody shows up, try to run everything the way best I could, get up there, small fire in the ducting, pulled ceiling, did all the normal things the guys would do, handled, no problem. You're like, oh man, that was close. What if I'd have blown that off? Or what if we didn't do all this investigating? What if I didn't have a crew that knew what to look for? It's easy to get caught up, but it's also easy to get caught up on what-ifing yourself to death to where you're almost paralyzed. So it takes time to try to figure out where, how to interject that and what your experience is going to be. All right, get that handled. come back, and I get the chief later on in the afternoon. Paperwork is handled, no problem. Comes back and says, all the dopamine, one of the medications that the paramedics carry, in the battalion is expired. Okay. What do you want me to do with that? Figure it out. Okay. My squad or all the paramedic units in the battalion? In the battalion. And then leaves. Lovely. Well, it's a Saturday. Our EMS people are 40 hour, and when they need to restock medication at this time in our department, you had to call them on the weekend and try to get it handled. So just another wrench that was thrown in the day of trying to figure out getting medication through the coordinator. Not a big deal, but just another hurdle. Then the calls, other calls start coming in. And mind you, this was a shift with people that I worked as a firefighter before, but now I'm in a different role. And we start going on a few calls, and you can see in our department, we make a determination if it's a advanced life support or a basic life support call. And then we send it with the private ambulance company, the patient, or the paramedic escorts in the private ambulance to the hospital. So there's always that line. Is it BLS, ALS? Are we transporting the patient, sending them with the crew, whatever it may be? And you start looking at these calls, and we go, okay, yeah, I feel comfortable with BLS. And no. And I was a paramedic for a while, for about 15 years. So not that I've seen everything, but on the basic stuff, I was pretty conservative, but not grandparent holding hands type conservative. And you start getting tested when you're like, how are you going to send a BLS unresponsive, completely hammered? I get it, they're drunk, but they can't even hold their head up. And they're pretty much out unless you give them a little bit of pressure or painful stimuli to get them to come around. So you got to be the dick. No, I'm not comfortable with that. So if you have that kind of concept in your department, that's a whole nother hurdle with the EMS side of trying to balance between being a grandpa to them all the time or a grandparent to them all the time and not letting them get away with murder because you want to be Captain Good Times or you want them to like you, whatever the hell it may be. But sometimes you need to protect the paramedics or whatever provides your EMS from themselves, because sometimes they don't realize what they're doing to themselves or the potential that they're doing when you just let them send everything in. It's no big deals. And that's never going to go away. That doesn't go away in our department, because that's the model we have. And a lot of places use that model. So you have to know that that's that part. Anyways, had to deal with a few of those. And then you start second guessing yourself. And so, like I said, if you don't feel like or don't think that you're going to have diarrhea or just this butterfly in your stomach, not comfortable for months, maybe it's just me and I'm overthinking everything, but it's almost like you're keeping your edge by doing that because you're not quite sure. It's just all new to you. So anyways, it sounds like I'm complaining like it was such a big deal, but at 10 o'clock when I finally talked to my wife and she said, how's it going? I said, I think I made a mistake. I think I'll go back to being an engineer or driver. She's like, what? What are you talking about? I said, this job sucks. You got to do all this administrative stuff. There's all this extra pressure. And granted, it had only been not even 24 hours. I didn't give myself enough time to think, like, hey, it's going to get better. And it did. It did. It's just time. Time is what you need to get better. So, and I'll harken back to some of the things I've said before. Don't rush to promote. And you're going, what the hell are you talking about? You're talking about a promoting type atmosphere on this. Yes, but we have people that are promoting. They can take the test at 5 years. It seems like seven. I'm like, you, and if you worked at another department for prior to ours, or you have some experience in another area, and then you came, when I'm not left just looking at the years that they worked with our department. I go back and look and say, what'd you do before that? Well, private ambulance, or I worked over here. It's completely different. Then I'm like, that, how many slides in your carousel do you have? Everything is just class driven or How much experience do you really have? And I'm not saying there's a magic number, but when you want to have the reality of looking at it and saying, let me see where you've worked, what you know, what's your weak point? Okay, well, now you're going to be in the front seat making decisions in an area that you haven't even experienced. And you can't experience everything, like hazmat. Hazmat for me sucks. I've never been a hazmat guy. I know the basics, but beyond that, I know my limitations on that. But that's not too common, but I know how to operate in that environment. That takes a little bit of time. So that's my weak point, if I had to pick a weak point. Hazmat. I'm tapped out within the first basic safety isolate, notify, set up the perimeters, exclusion zones, warm, hot zones, cold zone, whatever you want to call it, and how you have it set up. I can handle that. But beyond that, it's not my expertise. So that's my weak point. How do I fix that? Well, I'd have to go to hazmat school and bid a hazmat spot and all that. And that's, I'm not ready to do that. But I know where my weakness is, and I try to go and brush up on that, or have a plan, I should say. So you're going to get some of that. You're going to get pushback from some of the people who will just kind of test you and want to see what you're going to let them get away with. And it seems stupid, but they're going to push you on some things where there's paperwork, needs this signature, this isn't done. You're going to have to call them to the office and say, this isn't done. I need you to fix this. Well, it's never been, you know, they really don't look at it. No. Set the standard from the get-go. Now, you're not being a jerk, and you're not expecting them to do more than what is the basic minimum, unless that's you and that's what you want. And I already wrote down the next episode what I'm going to talk about, and it has something to do with that, and I'll tease you with it in a bit here, but you can understand that you're just going to be out of your element completely. No matter how much you practice, how much you've prepped for, you're just going to feel uncomfortable. And that's a topic and a word I bring up in my class all the time. Be prepared to feel uncomfortable. You just are. You just don't know yet what to say. I screwed up so much and said such dumb crap on the radio sometimes. I'm like, what am I doing? It's like sometimes I was almost surprised what crap came out of my mouth when I said something on the radio. And I remember getting laughed at about it, punked about it. And I'm like, yeah, gee, you're right. What an idiot. What? It's just sets and reps. That's the OJT stuff, is feeling smooth and operating and trying to understand where you fit in. But where else? Let me think here. Well, before I squirrel and something else happens and I change it off direction, what was I talking about as far as talking about a standard? So I have a concept idea for another show, which would be holding the standard. And what I'm talking about is, what is your reputation amongst others that are around you? Or what's the reputation of the station you work at, the specific shift, maybe just the company, the engine or the truck or whatever you have in your firehouse? And what is that reputation? Because I've heard that a lot. If you haven't listened to the other episodes, I previously moved to my current station I'm at now in July. And the one I had worked at before was about 4 years. So I kind of understood how that worked. And then you come to this station and you build your reputation, and it already has it right before you get there. It's not like you're one person making that decision or that reputation, but it's either you're going to continue it, you're going to change it, you're going to enforce it more, wherever you're going to fit in. But that's what I'm going to talk about. Another thing, talking about expectations, firehouse culture, kind of like the reputation of the firehouse or that company. And then where do you interject that? How do you portray it, explain it to people, live it, do it, breathe it, and why? So as I wrap this episode up, I'm more talking about in this one just about what you're going to feel as a brand new captain. You're going to have people that are pissed that you got promoted and they didn't. Or maybe they're on the list, right neck and neck with you, but you got promoted and they didn't. You don't think they're going to be resentment or pissed at you, even though they say, oh, you're good job. There's going to be slight resentment. And in smaller departments, it can be more cutthroat, because how often do you think they promote? How many do you think they promote? Things like that. So it can be tough. And in a larger agency, you kind of look at the list or people look at it and go, this dumbass got promoted? Even though they're thinking that, right? Or maybe that's how I think. I'm not calling everybody a dumbass, okay? What I'm saying, you don't understand what I'm saying, is you look at it and you go, wow, that person got it, but this person didn't, or over me, and then there can be resentment, and you can't control that. That's just human factor, human nature. So what you can control is where you're at now. Where do you want to go? What do you need to get there? Who do you need to speak with, get in your life? Can you move around in your department and start sharpening your skills, opening up your horizons, getting uncomfortable now and learning things that you may not even have any idea of what to do? And like I said, brush is a big thing for our department. But we're operating in a municipal type fire department in the brush with a bleed into type 3 engines now, hand crews, copters, dozers. There's a lot. But there's an expectation too. And for people that work for our department, if you're listening to this and you want to know what that's like, get a hold of somebody in our department of how to operate in that arena, because it's a big one. Doesn't happen all the time. Pretty dangerous, but you also need to know where, how to interject and how to operate. So that's probably what I'm going to do a Zoom thing for, and I'll bring it up and send out more information to people that want to know about potentially doing a Zoom call for that. So you don't have to be just with our department, because I got to figure out with Zoom how many people you can incorporate and how to just do it. But I'm going to mostly hone in on the people that are going to get promoted, try it on them, see if they're interested, and then see how it works, and then I'll expand it. So, but like I said, be prepared to be uncomfortable. It's just natural. That's what's going to happen. So I hope you got something out of this episode. I look forward to other topics and ideas, and I have a bunch written down, but if you have anything that you would like to send out or suggest as a topic, if you work for our department, you can find myself on the app. Instagram is The Fire Officer Project, and then email thefireofficerproject@gmail.com. You can send me ideas. You can tell me I suck ass, I'm wasting people's time, whatever it may be. Or you can tell me, can you talk about this, because I can't think of everything, obviously, but I have a structure that I'm trying to follow. And so as we wrap this episode up, we just talked about a little bit of day one, what it's like as a captain. I didn't really get too deep into it because everybody's experience is going to be different. But the biggest thing you need to take from it is you're in that position, do the best that you can. Keep seeking out those people that can help and guide you. Find those people that you can use as phone a friend. And it's just going to be those sets and reps and time. Not much you can do other than trying to get that experience. So if you're at a slow house, it's going to take you a little bit longer. But the more that you can move around and get out there, it's just how it's going to be. It's like anything in life. We talked about a little bit of updates and review and things, but also time management. That's going to take some time for you to understand and just kind of get your way. So nothing too crazy there. Future episodes, we're going to build a little bit more on specifically the firehouse and your role in it. And then with a few recent things I've had in my life going on, eventually, even though it's a buzzword and it's on the forefront of the fire service, mental health, I'm going to do an episode on that because I have a pretty significant piece that I would like to offer to people. And then we'll just keep continuing this on. So if you're interested in possibly joining up and doing an interview, I'll leave you all the information at the end of this show, and you can contact me. We can see what we can put together. Remember to keep moving forward, and we'll speak with you later. Thank you for taking the time to listen to another episode of The Fire Officer Project. If you'd like to reach us, you can follow us at Instagram, The Fire Officer Project on Instagram. Also have a Facebook account, but I mostly interact on Instagram. It's a little bit easier platform for me, and I like that one just a little bit better. Also, email is going to be thefireofficerproject@gmail.com. And as I stated in this show, I'm looking to set up interviews in the future. So if you think that it would be something you'd be interested in and we could talk about things and bounce back and forth, that'd be great. Send me an email or a direct message on Instagram. And like I said earlier, if you work for our department, you know how to get a hold of me. So hope everybody's doing well. Take care, and we'll talk with you later.